Bill 2002, as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy.
Aye.
Stein.
Aye.
Burton.
Aye.
Bell.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Close.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Representative Bellamy, did you or Representative Burton want to carry this bill? Or are there any other volunteers?
Burton hasn't had one today yet.
Or Representative Phillips, would you?
If you want me to carry the lien bills, so.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we? We'll sort of assign most of the lien bills to Representative Phillips. But if that's if you need some assistance or we need to redesignate some parties, we'll be glad to help out. The chair and maybe the vice chair, although I can't speak for him. And maybe we can even talk to Representative Burton or Bellamy into carrying one of these. We'll see what happens.
They should be pretty close behind.
I'll take the ag lien one to get it out.
Figured you might.
Okay, 2334. Council?
All right, this is another construction lien bill. It came out of Subcommittee 3. This bill has been substantially amended from when it was originally introduced. It clarifies when notice has to be given to the owner and mortgagee on a construction lien and how long that construction lien is valid. For those of you who aren't familiar with construction liens, let me read you something short and sweet that will tell you what they're about. Basically, when a supplier or a person who actually performs labor on real estate or on a house does that work, they provide service to the owner of the property for which they expect to be paid. In the event of non-payment by the property owner, who's the person that usually makes the payment, the laborer or supplier in most cases is not able to reclaim their goods or services as they have already been incorporated into real estate. Somebody started building a house and hasn't finished it or it hasn't been paid. It's difficult for them to take the house apart and get their lumber back. By this law, suppliers of material are required to give notice of the deliveries and, if requested, to provide a listing of the material supplied. If payment from the owner is not forthcoming when the prescribed time has elapsed, the labor or material supplier has the right to file a lien against the real property to enforce their claim for payment. That's what we talked about in the last bill, and that's what this bill is about. This bill allows a person filing a claim for a lien to mail such claim to the owner and to the mortgagee. There's been some question about whether it shortens the time for mailing the notice from 20 days to 10 days, and also whether the time has been shortened for when that notice should be mailed. However, the committee did act conceptually for the pool committee to act as a whole on the fact that instead of having 6 months to file a lien and process that lien, you have only 120 days. This bill represents a compromise between the proponents and the opponents. You have a hand-engrossed version that should be attached to your staff merit analysis. Basically, what's left in the bill is our sections 7 and 8. I want to advise you, though, that when this thing was, hand-engrossed version was hand-engrossed this morning, unfortunately, one section was left out, and I want to tell you where that would be. Look at your hand-engrossed version, and on line 22 on the last page, there should be a section that says, let me read it to you. It's too long to write down, so we can talk about the gist of it. But it says, notice mailed by any person to the mortgagee who received the notice required under an ORS section shall be deemed in compliance with this subsection unless the person giving the notice has actual knowledge of a change of mortgagee. Let me read it one more time. Notice mailed by any person to the mortgagee who received the notice required under the ORS section shall be deemed in compliance with this subsection unless the person giving the notice has actual knowledge of a change of the mortgagee and they didn't notify that person.
I have a couple of comments when
you're
ready for them.
Let me ask counsel, where was that amendment? Was that adopted but not
that wasn't
printed?
Well, basically what we did at the last subcommittee is all the amendments were discussed with the subcommittee. And the amendment on 120 days versus 6 months, I believe, was acted upon. However, Mr. Bronner, I believe, presented a list of written amendments that the proponents and the opponents had agreed to, and it was handed to me, and I took it down to Legislative Council to have them redraft according to the agreed amendments. However, it's my understanding that the shortening of notice time was something that was not agreed to by the parties, and I did not catch that until today. There's some question about it.
Okay, Rep. St. Phillips?
For those of you that weren't involved, we had the construction industry and the banks in here, and it was a very interesting discussion. Labor organizations came in and objected to certain sections of the bill. Finally, after pulling the two parties together and saying, banks, what do you want? And construction industry, what would you live with? The real key to what they thought they needed was to move up the time from 6 months to 120 days, which is the last section of the bill. That was most critical to them from an operational standpoint, and that notice procedure. They had dropped the issue of moving the time period from 15 days to 5 days. That was not going to be a part of their issue. And we had deleted that in the bill, and that has not been deleted in the sections that are before you today, which is an error. This issue is a major compromise to the points that were brought up. And in front of you, Mr. Gervais perhaps has got the most information as to where we arrived at this point, if you wish. To act on the bill, though, in addition to those that council just read to us that were left out, if you look at page 3, there on line 21, 15 days to 5, it's still 15 days. We did not delay, in fact, and change it to 5 days. And that again appears on line 37. I believe that's... Is that your interpretation of it?
Chair Springer, Representative Phillips.
In this version of the bill, it appears as if we made some changes that, in fact, after discussion, and Representative Springer and Kopetsky were there, we decided not to change. Although they, if you read this version that you're looking at right now, it would appear that we went ahead and accepted those amendments, and in fact, we did not. So I just wanted to bring that to people's attention.
Okay. Could you just one more time for the record, because I was in a side conversation.
On line 21 of page 3, the 5 days is inserted instead of 15.
Mm-hmm.
That it should be 15 days still.
15 days. That sounds a little more like what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So
then that again comes up on line 37,
okay,
of page 3, and we again said 15 days, not 5.
Okay.
And the language, not including Saturdays, Sundays, and other holidays, was inserted because there is some confusion today as to how you count. Do you count weekends? Do you count holidays? And we're talking that we're not, which is consistent with other sections of the statute. So that... We essentially left the statutes as exist now in timelines and just clarified the weekend issues. If you'll turn to page 4. Now, Mr. Gervais, that's what you understood. And I don't think there's anybody from the banks today, but that was the agreement and the timeline we came up with.
Representative Kopetsky?
Can I just ask Representative Phillips on that? It seems that if the banks were interesting in shortening the time period, that we want the 5 days and say not including Saturday, Sunday, and other holidays.
Remember I
had to skip out right there.
Yeah, they basically said let's leave everything the same as except for this 120 days and wanted to go to the death on 120 days.
Okay.
And that, so the 15 days was left in statute, 5 days. And that, of course, made the construction industry tremendously happy.
Okay.
Because they got... That issue also came up on page 4 when they wanted to change 20 days to 10 days, and we left it at 20 days. And the only timelines that we changed was to move from from 6 months to 120 days. So.
Okay. Representative Kretzky, do you have any further question about that?
No, I'm all set.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Gervais.
For the record, my name is John Gervais, represent the Construction Industry Committee. He is Mike Scott also. And Mr. Dellinger, representing Organized Labor. We're not the proponents of the bill, but we have joined in the agreement that you see before you today. And Mr. Scott would like to comment on this very quickly on those changes on page 4.
The one change on page 4 that I'd like to comment about is, as we were talking about, the notice which will now go to the mortgagee, which previously has not gone to the mortgagee. And that there's some language about the notice by any person to the mortgagee who received the notice required by ORS 87.025. Well, not every person has to give the notice under ORS 87.025. But what the intent of this section is, and the any person language, is that if a person who does not have to give that notice can simply call up a person who did have to give that notice and say, who is the mortgagee that you sent your notice to? Otherwise, we want to avoid the situation where a person who doesn't have to give the notice to the mortgagee is charged with having to go down and get a preliminary title report to see whether the banks have changed the title or the mortgagee has changed right after they've delivered the equipment or materials to the project. Rather, that you can simply call up a materialman who is required to give that notice and say, who is the mortgagee that you gave the notice to? And you can simply mail the notice to that mortgagee. And that's the intent of that language there, and that's why the any person language is in there.
I might comment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Phillips.
This notice procedure and who is notified and how they get to find out whether the banks indeed as a mortgage holder are notified is a real sensitive issue in the lien law field and construction and the finance industry. And this is what I would call it. These folks would not want anything changed as far as it. And the banks are the ones that they came in saying, we have to have the notice to make sure we know what's going on, for just for further clarification. And I don't want to make you guys look like bad guys, so just keep in mind that they're not the proponents of the bill. Gervais, I would have no problem making them look. But I'll get you on that bill. Anyway, so that was some of the discussion and the notification, making sure everybody who had any part of it, if it was feasible, that they got notice of lien action.
Okay. Any further questions for Tim Burton?
Is that amendment been adopted, the one that we don't have? Was it adopted by the sub?
As I recall, yes, it was.
So
it was discussed. And
everybody here has seen that.
Yeah. As I recall, that's correct.
They contributed the language.
Let's go ahead and take a motion from Representative Phillips on the amendments as amended, just to make the record clear.
Okay, I would move the amendments to HB 2334 as just discussed.
Including the amendment read by council.
Including the amendment read by council and the clarifications I read into the record regarding the notification dates.
Okay. Representative Phillips so moves the amendments as amended to House Bill 2334. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to those amendments? If not, they're adopted. Mr. Bellinger, did you wish to make any comment at this point? Or?
Chairman, for the record, my name is Bill Bellinger, and I'm with the Oregon State Building Trades Council. I just came up here to so that you realize the Building Trades concurs with the bill is in its form now. Our objection initially was the employee benefit language that was eliminated. It would have really been devastating to us, and the subcommittee heard all that testimony.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bill as it appears now is you have no objections to that.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? If not, Representative Phillips, Representative Burton, did you have a question?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, Representative Phillips?
I'd like to move the amended version of HB 2334 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Phillips moves House Bill 2334 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Sullivan? Aye.
Gunn?
Aye.
Burton.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Gudsky.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Aye. Representative Kopetsky, maybe we'll ask you to share this, or Representative Phillips.
I'd rather share this.
You got this one, okay.
As long as it doesn't endanger the bill, I think you're fine, Representative Phillips.
No re-referral motions.
This one's got a problem, I'll carry it regardless.
And I think we ought to print this engrossed.
Yes.
Just so we don't have people heading for the mats when they see it. Okay, we next have 2986. I had a note that Mr. Donica perhaps was delayed, but he, or maybe another individual might have been here. Are they prepared?
Yes, I would like to hear it.
Okay, and you, sir, are Mr. Gutzler, is that correct? Okay, why don't you come up forward, counsel, if you would introduce the bill to us, please?
Mr. Chairperson, this bill deals with equitable interest in real property, which are currently not subject to judgment means restitution. We had a subcommittee 3 meeting on April 25th and subsequently on May 1st. We had Mark Comstock of the debtor creditor section of the bar testify in favor of the bill. There's only one opponent of the bill, and that was Craig Chisholm of the real estate section of the bar. And the bill passed to our full committee without any amendments.
Okay. The bar wants it. Title companies don't. Mr. Gunsler, are you here to be with or one of those groups? Or?
My name is Wally Gunsler. I'm a member of the bar and I'm in the title business.
Okay.
So I'm not going to straddle the fence, however, Chairperson. I'm opposed to the language of the bill simply because of the problem it would create. And by the way, I represent the Oregon Land Title Association. In cleaning up titles on properties where they've been abandoned by the purchasers, in the last 5 years, we've had a great incidence of that, of course, where people have purchased property on contract, have been unable to make the payments or unwilling, and have either just left the property or, in many instances, have deeded it back by the foreclosure to the property seller, and in the meantime have collected some judgments or had some judgments against them initially. Those judgments, if they were allowed to become liens upon the purchaser's interests in those contracts, would then have to be cleared off by some other means, quiet title suit or foreclosure suit against those judgment creditors. Now, in many cases, we find that where these properties are either abandoned or are given back by the purchasers, many of whom have no equity left as a matter of fact because the property values have gone down or they haven't been making enough payments to keep up with the fact that they've used up the property and depreciated in value. The property is now worth less than the seller's interest in the property. There's no equity for the purchaser. And yet there would be judgments there that would have to be cleared off. It'd be an extra expense for the seller to hold up potential sales of the properties. And in Oregon now, we have many, many properties for sale by people who have had to take them back from the purchasers, whether they be financial institutions or contract sellers. And as a result, the need to get those properties cleared up and titles available for sale quickly is important. Glad to respond to any questions.
Okay. Any questions? If not, thank you. Representative Phillips, I believe that was kind of similar to the earlier concern expressed by Mr. Chisholm. And apparently, notwithstanding that concern, the subcommittee was persuaded that I don't recall if there were any dissenting votes, but
there were. You and I, and you moved the bill, and I went ahead with it to get it on out here.
Okay.
I must, just for the committee, this wasn't one of them that I really had a 2986 a compelling or wish on. I It was pretty clear that one side wanted it, one side didn't want it. It just fell right down the middle.
Okay, well, I kind of feel that the bar and the debtor-creditor section can put slightly at disadvantage in not being able to be here and respond. Ms. Godman, I know you're probably not here for this bill today. Perhaps you are. Can you?
Diana Godman, the Bar Association. I was here to see what had happened. I put in a quick phone call to our debtor-creditor section people, and unfortunately, they weren't able to have a witness here today. Of course, it was listed as a work session. I understand that committees need to get on with work. If you want to hold off on a vote on this, if my people want to try to work something out for amendments with the title people, we'll try that. I understand that you'd have some concerns, that given that we're not here to refute the testimony. I apologize.
Well, I don't think there's any way you could have known that we were going to kind of reopen the issue today. If there's a great reluctance to move forward today, we could reschedule it for Monday's full committee work session, and that might allow Ms. Godman
and if we haven't been able to adequately address your concerns or come in with amendments that allay the fears of the title companies, then you'd be by Monday, then I understand that you don't want to move forward on the bill. So I'll make a commitment to get this resolved by Monday morning.
Okay. Why don't we carry this till Monday then, unless there's strong feeling otherwise, and we'll allow the bar and the land title folks to see if they can't resolve this. Okay, the next bill is 2637.
Mr. Chairperson, we've had several hearings and work sessions on this bill. The last one was yesterday, and there was some discussion about some amendments proposed by Mr. Kalinowski. And those did not pass. Instead, there was an amendment proposed by Representative Peterson to the bill, and the bill passed 2-4 for discussion today.
Yes.
Is there in front of you a hand-drawn version titled Kalinowski to Peterson deletion, or the latest version of the bill?
Okay, we have the bill as amended by subcommittee yesterday before us. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, I in subcommittee had moved in terms of the notice 90 days instead of 180 days. In the spirit of compromise, I would now move 120 days.
Okay. Representative Bunn, I believe that the bill that we dealt with yesterday also had a provision that provided 150 days for employee benefit plans. Would your amendment put that at 120, or would you retain 150 days?
Gee, I don't know. I'd like to visit in committee about that. I was primarily concerned about the other issue, and I don't know if compelling need to change the 150, although I'd be glad to have discussion in committee.
I think that Mr. Kalinowski is indicating that pursuant to his discussion with Mr. Barnett, who is the individual who is concerned about the employee benefit plans, that it would be their preference that the 150 days be the language for the employee benefit plans. Is that correct, Mr. Kalinowski?
Mr. Chairman, my motion would be maintaining 150 days one and 120 on the other.
Okay.
Where is that in this?
That is question of Burton, if you look down to the LC amendments, which are the second part of your package, and you look down at the Peterson deletion on the LC amendments, proposed amendment 2637, and down there, we have, I believe, basically the intent of Representative Bunn's motion would be to restore the language in 18 through 22, but insert 120 days, and to restore the entirety of lines 23 through 27. And Mr. Kalinowski is also nodding affirmatively on that, as far as us understanding the nature of the amendment.
This is it right here. Could I ask a question?
Representative Phillips.
Those who were in committee yesterday, looking at the same proposed amendments, 2637, the person gives written notice of the claim, I'm not sure I can articulate this, but what's the parameters in which they have to give that notice? To whom do they give the notice?
That you would find in the language on page one of the engrossed bill that it would be required that it be provided to the Secretary of State and the contractor, and if the contracting agencies other than the state agency would go to the clerk or the auditor of the public body which led the contract.
Okay.
And the contractor.
Okay.
Okay, are there any further questions or comments, Mr. Brea?
Mr. Chairperson, also in the materials is a letter, two-page letter from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. They have some concerns about the plan.
Okay, let's just take a moment to review this. Apparently, this speaks to the bill as originally drafted. Mr. Kalinowski, have you been favored with a copy of this letter? Sorry, we just got it ourselves today. Coffle here? No, she's not. Do you know if she was planning on being here? Or?
I don't think it's good.
Well, let's tell you what. Let's take our afternoon recess for about 10 minutes to allow the parties to review this letter and see if this is going to affect the action we take today. And also it gives us a chance to sort of catch our breath on the balance of our agenda and confer about Senate Bill 102. So we'll be taking our afternoon recess for 10 minutes. And please, everyone, let's try to be back and get started at that time. We'll be in recess for 10 minutes. Representative Peterson, I think he's talking to a class and again. Thank you.
My file cabinet.
Oh, yes, this is a done deal.
Put that on wheels.
No.
Don't
be voting for it.
Mr. Chair, are you ready?
Okay, so, pardon me, Judiciary Full Committee will come back to order, please. We've got a couple members, three who are excused, so though I think we're ready to proceed with Senate Bill 102, Representative Phil had an amendment. He's down testifying in another committee, so we'll continue that briefly. On 2637, we're missing a couple of people. I think it's probably best to defer that for a few moments. Why don't we move then to 2641. Council?
Mr. Chairperson, this bill deals with municipal corporation settlements. We had a subcommittee hearing on April 5th. Mr. Fred Neal spoke in favor of the bill, as did Linda Gardner from the City of Portland City Attorney's Office. During subcommittee Mr. Neal again talked about the history of the bill, and Mr. Kalinowski also supported the bill. The bill had no amendments and passed out 2-0.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Bellamy.
I move House Bill 2641 to the floor.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2641 to the floor. Do pass. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy.
Aye.
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 Miller.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Burton, like the honors on this.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Dumb bill. I know. Good bill.
Okay. How's everyone feel about installment contracts, motor vehicle installment contracts?
Oh, my goodness.
Take them a little bit at a time.
Let's get it going.
Okay. Are we ready to go?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Hearing on this bill on April 23rd, Mort Winkle, attorney, talked about the bill.